Welcome to Call to Freedom with Barbara Carmack. This is Jimmy Lakey, and I'm delighted that you are joining us for this half hour. You can reach Call to Freedom at Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237, or by going to the website at www.freedomstreet.org. If you want to leave a message or order a Word-powered daily reading Bible guide or a Freedom Street Express newsletter, you can call us toll-free at 1-877-917-7256 and leave your name and address, including your zip code. Now, let's join Barbara in the studio.
Welcome to Call to Freedom. Thank you for joining me. I love you in the Lord. I really do. I wish we could sit across the table at coffee and just enjoy each other for hours. I would. And thank you for joining me in this program, Call to Freedom. May the Lord continually bless you with heaven's blessings, His heavenly blessings. When love brings comfort, it is by God's compassion. When love brings peace, it is by God's grace. When love brings joy, it is by God's presence. And know, friend, that you are loved by God. Sometimes we feel alone in this world, but oh, God is always there. And He's better than any human love. And I've had a lot of human love, but He's better than any human love that you can even think of. You are blessed to dispense, for in Him you live and move and have your being. And the memory verse for this week is Psalm 46, verse 1 and 2. And sometimes I go on and on. It's so good. And in the Amplified, Psalm 46, verse 1 through 3 is, God is our refuge and strength, mighty and impenetrable, a very present and well-proved help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, we will not fear. Though the earth should change, though the mountains be shaken and slip into the heart of the seas, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its roaring. Oh, even though this world looks like it's falling apart, and in some areas of this world with the earthquakes and the floods, it could be falling apart. It's because the earth is obeying the voice of the Lord. And I believe that this change is part of the heavenly scriptures we read in Luke 21 and in Matthew 24, where Jesus says, get ready. Watch for it. I'm coming soon. I'm coming soon. Look for Him. He's coming soon. And the Passion reads in Psalm 46, God, you're such a safe and powerful place to find refuge. You're a proven help in time of trouble, more than enough and always available whenever I need you. So we will never fear, even if every structure of support were to crumble away. We will not fear, even when the earth quakes and shakes, moving mountains and casting them into the sea. This weekend, we saw this huge retaining wall, and it's in South Denver, Littleton area, where homes were, people who lived in homes below were fearful that this thing would give away. It's like 30 feet tall, all crumbling and giving away to the flood. So we will not fear, even if every structure of support were to crumble away. Fear when there are earthquakes and shakes, moving mountains and casting them into the sea, for the raging roar of the stormy winds and crashing waves cannot erode our faith in you. That's from the Passion, Psalm 46, 1 through 8. Wow, that is so good. But there is a wonderful river of life whose sparkling streams bring joy and delight to His people. Hallelujah. His river flows right through the city of God Most High. We're going to see that. And God is in the midst of His city, secure and never shaken. I'll tell you, I can't wait. I mean, it's like looking forward to something great and mighty on this earth. When you go on a vacation or you're going on a cruise or something like that, you just can hardly wait. You're in anticipation of a wonderful time. Well, that's what I am about heaven. I'm anticipating an absolute forever wonderful time. So let's get ready. Let's get set. Go. And for some of you, God has prepared you for years and years. You have been a born-again believer for years, and now it's time for you to jump in the water. And even if you're just new to this Christian walk, by going to the Word of God, I do have a Word Power for Every Hour Bible Guide. You can go there and start reading the Old Testament and the New Testament together. It will bring everything together and clarify every question that you have. And just let all the word that you've learned from the Lord lead you to higher places than you've ever been before. You have believed in your hearts to honor God above everything you do. I know by the very Spirit of God that you listening really want to honor God and you believe in Him. I hope you're in the Word every day, because when I finally realized that after all the trial and the error that I went through, error, E-R-R-O-R, boy, lots of it, that it was the Word of God that gave me the wisdom and understanding that I needed to live in this world. A whole new world opened up for me, and I know it will do the same for you. I want to tell you a little bit about how I grew up. I grew up on a farm north of Greeley, Colorado, just 30 miles south of Cheyenne, Wyoming. And it was just a small plot of land my dad farmed, beets, beans, corn, hay. And I didn't have a lot of free time, and the time I did have amounted to my studies in school. I loved studying and doing chores and helping keep the house in order. And we had a party line phone, so we didn't have anything like any of you have today. Party line, and when you wanted to call somebody and somebody was on the line, you'd have to wait till they're over the conversation. We had no TV, no internet. We did have radio. And one of my fondest memories was a dad on Sunday morning. I could see him shaving in the bathroom. He was humming a little bit, and he was listening to Charles Fuller. And the song the choir was singing was Heavenly Sunshine, Heavenly Sunshine. Oh, it was glorious freedom. And I remember that. And it was wonderful to know that my dad was really in the Lord and he loved the Lord. Every Wednesday and Sunday we were in church. I sang in the church choir when I was 11, in the adult church choir, because I could harmonize. We would come into church 30 miles away, and we were there early every Sunday and every Wednesday night. Mom taught me to harmonize when I was very young, so I was learning invaluable things growing up, like organizing my time to the fullest. While attending that church one Sunday night on March 28th, 1954, I accepted Jesus as my Savior. I didn't really know about surrendering and making Him Lord and Master. I just knew that I wanted more of Jesus. So it took me a while to get all of that stubbornness and self-sufficiency and opinions away and grasp hold of His marvelous, marvelous might and power. And bottom line, I just truly desired to love Jesus and to serve Him. In high school, I was taught by great teachers who were hired from the Teachers College in Greeley. At my school came the cream of the crop from Colorado State College of Education. It was CSCE at the time. In fact, my music teacher, Mr. Spencer, had me come an hour early each school day in my senior year to prepare me for the music history and counterpoint classes I would have in college. He knew all about it. I was totally ignorant and naive about what was ahead of me. Oh, and I struggled. I did. But I did maintain good grades. I don't know how. Holy Spirit, thank you. He was a dear friend, and we kept in touch. Mr. Spencer and I kept in touch even when I got married and was singing full time with John. I loved learning and still do. The Word tells us that we are students and Holy Spirit is our teacher. Remember that. We must never forget that. So the growing up years and the educational years helped me to develop particular insights and gifts that would later help me in what God wanted me to do. I attended a liberal arts college in Pasadena, California, and was to graduate after 4 years with majors in music and education. In those days, you were either a teacher or a nurse. I didn't want to be a nurse. I couldn't stand the sight of blood, so so I majored in music and education. I was the alto solo in the Messiah, 150 of us in the choir, and it was presented every year. And that year, I was the alto solo, and John Wells was the bass soloist. I didn't know him well, but I knew him across campus and with his singing. I knew he was a great singer. I had no idea, folks, what God had planned. No idea. And then one day as I was walking out of my voice lesson, there was John sitting on the sofa reading a paper. And we said hi. And then he asked me to go out on a date on the weekend. Our first date. It was confirmation of what was in our future. As we were driving across L.A. to see Lou Alcindor play in the National College Basketball Championship, John began singing, "If You Know the Lord," and I joined him in harmony. One thing I want to tell you is that if I look at March 17th, 1967, I can see Woodson, who was the coach then, and the players of Los Angeles, UCLA, playing basketball that very day, March 17th. It's just really fun. It's just fun to see that day that we were there in that huge gym. And so I joined John in harmony on the road. And John, it was really interesting. He said, "I am so grateful that God told me to ask you out because I think I picked the right date." I wasn't really impressed with him, but he wrote a song about me called Barbara Ann. It was just really fun. We dated for less than 2 months. Yep, we dated for less than 2 months and eloped. I know you're saying you didn't really get to know each other in 2 months, but when John said he loved me and wanted to spend the rest of his life with me, I jumped at the chance. I fell in love with a man who loved the Lord and was preparing for ministry. And we were kicked out of school. It's a long story. Packed up and left for Colorado. I know the whole campus was betting on how long this marriage was going to last. Praise God. Oh, it was a wonderful marriage. I knew two things. I was preparing to go back home after 4 years of education, and I was bringing my new husband, John Wells, with me. John was so willing to leave the beautiful weather and the scenery, his family and friends, and come with me. I'm still in awe of that decision that he made that morning when we went to LAX. The next few years were not joyful honeymoon years. No, they were not. There were great adjustments, but we loved the Lord and realized that our singing for Jesus wanted to be heard by people all over Colorado and other states. And we just enjoyed singing, but people wanted us to come to their churches and give them concerts. And we were so willing to do that. And in the meantime, in those first few years, we had Kimberly and Dana, and they joined in singing on stage at various civic clubs and churches. We even went to Gaither Studios in Indiana and made a children's record, which people just absolutely enjoyed and ordered again and again. Several businessmen in Greeley gave us our equipment, microphones, amplifiers, speakers, and we were off and running full time. What a blessing those years were on the road. I realized why God had prepared me for the lifestyle of traveling, even in my early years, and going 1,200 miles to school every year in Pasadena and then back home. I learned how to travel. And then on the freeways of California, oh my goodness. I mean, there were five lanes in Los Angeles before there were ever four or five lanes here in Colorado. So after traveling for 10 years, John and I realized the girls needed a more stable environment. And that's when we dove into a real retail business of selling pianos and organs and later synthesizers. John was a very successful businessman, selling and delivering instruments during the week and then singing on the weekends. That's what we did. We delivered the pianos after work and then we sang on the weekends. It was a full and fulfilling life. And then John had been experiencing great pain in his body, and we discovered he was battling cancer. It was just like a ball hit me in the middle of my stomach. I couldn't get my breath when I heard the diagnosis. He had not been sick a day in those 23 years that he was married to me. It was an absolute shock. For 5 months, we believed that God would heal his physical body. Believing men would come to the house and pray over him all night and read scriptures over him, and because by then he was bedridden. And then February 25th, 1990, after 23 years of glorious marriage, John died, and I was devastated. The girls were devastated. They cherished their dad. He was an anchor in their world. That week at the graveside and memorial, it was a blur. I didn't know who would bring the sermon at the memorial service. I asked four or five pastors in the area, and they declined. And you might ask, why, Barbara? It was the Lord. It was the Lord. It was the Lord. Don't ask him questions when we expect something and it turns out to be something different. Kimberly came one day. It was like Monday, I called several pastors. Tuesday, she said, Mom, why don't you call Darren Carmack? And she said, no, I'll call Darren. So she called Darren, and John and I had led the music for Darren's church in Denver for a year and a half, and Darren and John had become close friends. I didn't think of Darren because I really didn't particularly like him. And when we got married, it was a standing joke after we got married. So we asked Darren to officiate at the memorial service. He said he didn't feel adequate to serve in that capacity because he and his first wife had divorced. He had lost his ministry because in those days, divorce, maybe it still is, divorce was a no-no. And he'd lost his children and his home. And he gave such a beautiful eulogy for John. And in the crowd of 1,000 that were there, there were many tears, not only for John, but because Darren was so well-known in the area and he was loved. The next few weeks came and went with much grief and uncertainty about what to do with John Wells Music Center in Greeley. Here I was left with this 10,000-foot retail store, and I had only been an assistant to him. I never really believed I was a salesperson or fully capable of being able to run a store. And God blew my world out of the water, and he got me attention when Darren Carmack asked me out. After the memorial service, I saw him as a friend, and so I accepted him. He called me, and I said, okay, I will go to dinner with you. And boy, when the Lord orchestrates something, he does it in a magnificent way. It was a whirlwind courtship, and we were married 3 months later. Yeah, quick, both with John and with Darren. When you know, you know. I mean, you don't have to take a year of engagement. You don't have to take 6 months of engagement. You just know that the Lord has called you. Oh, I closed John Wells Music Center 8 months after John died, and I was on a miraculous adventure in getting to know my new anointed husband and a new revelation in Jesus. As in my life, some of the things that you may be going through are not pretty, but they fit into the calling that God gave you. The good, the bad, and the ugly are all a part of who you and I are and how we fit into the society we live in. I'm realizing at this point in my life that God doesn't choose perfect people. He doesn't. And there's no way any of us are perfect in God's eyes. He chooses people who are willing to follow him, not ask too many questions, be students of his word, and allow the word to change them and transform them into a holy generation of people. For you are a chosen generation, my friend, a holy people, a royal nation, those who prepare their hearts for God. And you've been called out of a kingdom of darkness. Do you know if we don't accept Jesus Christ as Savior, we're living in darkness. And darkness has surrounded the earth. It really is in darkness because Satan is the prince of the power of this earth. And we've come to know him as the enemy. He is the enemy. So I want you to know that he will transform our lives when we give him opportunity to do that. And I want you to know that there is such opportunity for him to change your life and make you new, transform you into a new person. I want to tell you that some people take the low road, and it takes years for change. And other people, like Darren, are on the high road, and they go like 90 miles an hour to get to their destination. And there were so many times that Darren said, I want you to get rid of this phrase you use on me all the time. You say, I'm jerking you around. And he really did. He would jerk me around, he would take me to the edge, and then I would feel like I'm falling. And he would always be there to grab me. But I felt like I didn't have anything under me. And it's sometimes what God wants us to feel. He wants us to feel like we have no comfort. We are comfortable setting or no mattress to fall on when we're coming off of a high building. We have no kind of place to settle in and be safe except God's arms and God's hands. He wants you to know that he's always there for you. So being on the air with Darren was truly a learning experience. I'm so grateful for the times that he came down on me after the broadcast, you know, giving me a talking to about radio etiquette and giving people priority in our ministry, because I learned so much. I did not even begin to realize I would be on the radio almost 20 years after Darren left, and I would be part of this Call to Freedom, part of this wonderful organization of Crawford Media, knowing that this broadcast is going out to many, many people. I thank God every day for the life he's given me. Thank you, Lord. You are good. Your loving kindness endures forever, and your truth extends to all generations. As you read through the Word with me, and I hope that you're doing that, get a Bible guide, or even if you're on your own schedule, I want you to read through the Old Testament and New Testament. And what I've done by breaking up the Old Testament, New Testament, is some of those Old Testament books are not really the most enjoyable to get through, especially the genealogies. But as you go through three chapters in the Old Testament, I always provide a New Testament chapter for you. I'm going to tell you that you can go to Barbara@freedomstreet.org. We're going to get there. Barbara@freedomstreet.org. And you can ask me for a Bible guide and give me your name and number, and I'll send you a Bible guide. Or you can go to freedomstreet.org and download a Bible guide, print it out, and you can have a Bible guide, okay? I'm new to this too. I truly am, friend. I'm new to this. So as you read through the Word with me, you can realize that these people you read about were just like you and me. Just like you and me. Lots of flesh, but mostly mighty spirits to follow and worship God. I know the verse for this week, Psalm 46, is not a psalm written by David, but he taught the musicians and singers with expertise and grace. You can be an influence on your own family and future generations by showing the love and grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, it's so wonderful to be talking to you today. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in time of trouble. Before I leave today, and after I've been talking to you about my life here, I want you to know where you are seated with Jesus. Because sometimes we wonder, now I've got Jesus in my heart, Holy Spirit is teaching me, he's there too. And Jesus did promise that they would dwell with each one of you as you serve Jesus, as you make him Savior and Lord of your life. God is up on his throne, Jesus and Holy Spirit are in you. And in Ephesians 2, it says, and you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you formerly walked according to the course of the world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working the sons of disobedience. So you know that Satan is the prince of the power of this air around us. So if you go into a place that you feel opposition or oppression, oh, we've been there. Darren and I were there a lot of times, even in churches. Yes, folks, we'd walk into a church and Darren says, I'm really uncomfortable here. Let's go. Let's go have breakfast somewhere. So we'd go to have breakfast and study the Word together. Yes, that's what we do. So we know that Satan is the prince of the power of this air. And we know that we are the ones that can cast him down. Casting down every evil and vain imagination. We cast him down. Jesus said that we have overcome him by the authority that he has given to us in Luke 10, verse 19. And behold, I've given you authority over all the power of the enemy. So you don't have to fear him. Greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. And here it's talking about the sons of disobedience in verse 3 of Ephesians 2. Among them, we too all formerly lived in the lusts of our flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind. That's the thing that you have got to train by your spirit. Your spirit is being taught by the word that you're reading and you're speaking. And now your mind and your flesh need to be trained by your spirit. This is so beautiful. And you were by nature children of wrath, rather even as the rest. We were children of the darkness, children of the wrath. And when we accepted Jesus Christ as Savior, we joined them who are in the kingdom of light. But God, being rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, hallelujah, and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That's where you are. That's where you are right now. It tells us in the very first chapter of Ephesians, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. So we've got to think, we've got to begin to think, our mind is set on heaven. Our mind is set in the heavenly places and not on these, on this earth. We have to begin to think, I am in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, in order that in the ages to come he might show the surpassing riches of his grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. This is so beautiful, folks. Ephesians 2, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. Grace is a gift of God. You can't earn it. Read Romans 4. You cannot earn it. Abraham had faith to believe that God would give him an heir. He didn't work for it. He believed it. And that's what we need to do. We need to believe that this is a gift of grace that he has given to us, covered us with the Lord Jesus Christ. This is a gift of God, not as a result of works, that no one should boast. For we are his workmanship. Hallelujah. We are his creative art. We are his wonderful piece of art. We are his workmanship, his masterpiece, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Therefore, remember that formerly you, the Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcised, are now circumcised of the heart. Remember that you were at times separate from Christ, excluded from the commonwealth of Israel, but you are no longer strangers to the covenant. Now Christ Jesus, who formerly was only in the Jewish realm, is now in you. Oh, I gotta go. God bless you and keep you. And Kimberly will be with me tomorrow. Take joy, my friend.
Thank you for listening to Call to Freedom with Barbara Carmack. You may get in touch with Barbara at Call to Freedom, Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237. Or you may leave your message at 1-877-917-7256. Call to Freedom is a listener-supported radio ministry. Barbara and her power partners invite you to come on board with us and become a network of hands holding up Call to Freedom Ministry. Power partners support Call to Freedom with prayer and monthly financial support. You will be blessed supernaturally. We invite you to visit Call to Freedom's website, www.freedomstreet.org, where you can hear Barbara's daily radio broadcast 24 hours a day or order materials. You may share your praise reports and heart cries by mailing them to Call to Freedom, Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237, or you may email us at barbaracarmack@freedomstreet.org. Until next time, remember, Jesus loves you, Barbara loves you, and take joy in